You know, I'll be honest with you. After yesterday, it wouldn't be too hard for me to come up with a lesson maybe entitled, Your Lack of Faith is Disturbing, or Do or Do Not, There is No Try. Or if I was really good, maybe I could just wave my hand and impart to you the knowledge of my lesson. If you guys are anything like me, this time of the year has been very special because it brought back my childhood. Yesterday, I got to go with my wife and Chris and Emily to see the new Star Wars movie, which brought me back to a time when actually Star Wars was around, the original Star Wars. Actually, I have to say that Star Wars started in 1977, and so did I. So, I mean, what can you say? Greatness came. But I'm not going to go that way. Actually, today's lesson is going to be like a puzzle. You see, I have the pieces in my mind. I've had them for a while. And hopefully today you'll be able to put the puzzle together and come up with something nice. Or it's kind of like my Christmas presents. I've gotten my wife's Christmas presents, and I've got them. The problem is I don't wrap them. So I will tell you this. When I was growing up, you know, I lived next door to Miss Karen, and I think that's the only lady in the world that could wrap a box of coal, and you'd be excited about it, would you not? I promise you this today, though. I'm not going to give you coal for a lesson, but it might not be wrapped in the pretty wrapping altogether that you might look. Actually, I'm going to piggyback off of Jaquan's last week's lesson. It's been something that's been on my mind, and so I'll just get into it today. I've learned a lot since October 17th. Being married, I've gotten plenty of advice. That's one thing, I guess, when you're a newly married person, as a guy, you get a lot of advice. And I mean a lot. And I've also learned through lessons. But one of the things that has been, and this kind of goes back to where Jaquan was last week, so if you remember his lesson, one of the things I find myself struggling with is focusing too much on what's going to happen next. You ever think about that? I anticipate stuff so much. I'm a big anticipator. For some of you, maybe as Jaquan mentioned, some of us might live in the past. Some of us might live in the present and not think. But for me, I get caught up in anticipation. And you think about this time of the year, what is everybody that's a little kid anticipated about? Christmas. Do you remember as a kid, and it's getting harder and harder for me to remember my first Christmases as we get years and years have passed. But as a kid, you couldn't sleep, right? The night before Christmas, you were so excited. I don't know if you had the tradition in your house, but I remember my mom and dad would let me open up a present on Christmas Eve. Man, I was horrible at that. You know, you go down there and you're like, all right, I know which one I'm going to pick. And you pick it out, and I always picked out the clothes. I'm like, come on. You got to be kidding me. You know, there's got to be, I think my parents are smart and wrapped them right. But that anticipation, the buildup. For me recently, it was always when Kristen and I were dating and engaged, it was always, when the wedding comes, it'll be all changed when the wedding comes, the anticipation. And so for me, I get caught up in the future, thinking everything is. And for some people, it's worry that maybe they focus on. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen in the future? And so we get caught up in anticipation. And so it's a struggle of mine, because when you do that, what do you forget about? What's right in front of you, right? The day that you live in. Friday, I traveled with the president of Healing Hands, wanted me to go with him to Hazel, Kentucky, which is basically right north of Paris, Tennessee, into Kentucky. If you are an antique shopper and you like to collect antiques, go to Hazel, Kentucky. I found out that this town has like 400 people in it, and it has 12 antique stores. Anyways, he was buying some furniture for his new home, and he needed the big HHI truck. And as we were driving down 440 to get to 40 to go out west, he's like, wow, I've been on 440. I drive it all the time, but I've never paid attention to what's around me. I'm always thinking about where I'm going. And we sit a little higher up in the truck, and so he's like, wow, I didn't even realize those buildings were over there. And so isn't that how we are in life a lot of times? We're so caught up in where we're going that we miss what's right there. And for some of us, we get caught up in where we're going so much that we go right by stuff. And for me, that's a big weakness, because I forget about what's going on today because I'm anticipating what's going to be tomorrow. We're going to look at a passage that deals with worry. So if you'll go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 22. I know it talks about worrying, and some of us, that's a struggle, worrying. For me, it is, but not just in the context of worrying. I want to read this because I think it really sums up living in the moment. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 22. As long as my Bible will let me get there. Starting in verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, or what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will He clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." The passage part of that I want to focus on is the last verse. Seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you. I think one of the things, whether it's anticipation, whether it's worry, whether it's always having big dreams, is that we forget about what lies right in front of us. I was down in Texas last week, I guess. My time's all mixed together. Early part of December, I was in southern Texas, and I was having lunch with a preacher, and he made a comment, and he said, we were sitting having lunch, and we were just talking about stuff, and he said this. He said, "So often as a preacher, I get caught up in trying to think what the church can be, what his congregation can do." And if any of you have ever been in church leadership, you know, sometimes you want your church to be more involved, or you want it to be somewhere. And he had all these goals, and he said, "But you know what? Because I do that, sometimes I forget to love the people where they're at. Love the people where they're at." It's great to have goals, don't get me wrong, and it's great to want to have a future. I'm not saying that today. But let's not forget to love what we've got in front of us. This time of the year, what are we going to focus on when we think about the Bible? Christmas always ties into what? The birth of Jesus, right? Think about that story. Think about the people of that time. What was their big thing when they heard that Jesus was coming? They were excited for what? They heard Jesus was coming. The people of that time were excited because of what was coming? A king. What kind of king? Huh? Earthly king that was going to come back, and they were going to get back all that they had lost, right? And they anticipated this king. And here comes Jesus. He came in not the way they thought, into this world. And when he was here, did they not anticipate that they forgot to look what was right in front of them? As Christians, do we not sometimes anticipate what's next, that we forget what's right in front of us? What if our Christian lives are like the highway? We're going down them all the time. I drive to work every day the same way. Or I go to get mom on Sunday mornings the same way. Or I go to Blake's house. And this is funny. Yesterday, Chris and I were headed on the bypass to NCG. And you know what? Chris had to tell me I was getting off an exit. I was getting off Blake's exit. Because my mind, talking with Chris, just going, automatically the car started to go that way. Because that's the way we go every day. Or I go a lot. And so in our lives, I don't go there every day, excuse me. I'm not at Blake's house every day. But in our lives, we get caught up in that, and we go, and we're thinking about what's next, that we forget what lies right in front of us. And isn't it pretty, as we sat at the lunch table with that preacher, we all kind of sitting there, we're talking, we're like, isn't that kind of what Jesus kind of mentions, is to live for today? And we look at these verses, and Jesus tells us, and to his own disciples, why think about always tomorrow when what's going to be for today is going to be provided? And what a simple concept that is. But yet for me, it's so hard. I think Jaquan used the passage last week. I asked him, but that was a week ago, and I can't remember. He couldn't remember. So if it is, then you get double duty of Scripture, which is never wrong. But go to James chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 13. We're going to just look at a couple of verses here. Kind of going along with the whole thing. Starting in verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Let's live for today. You know, I've been to several countries, and we at Healing Hands deal with a lot of people. And you know the mindset in a country that's impoverished, I guess? You know what their mindset is? Live for today. Tomorrow is another day. In America, maybe we don't always live for today because we've got it, but we don't think about, we got to provide for today, and tomorrow is another day. And it really sets that mindset in my mind that, you know what, when you meet people in places like that, they're about that day. And they're going to soak up that day. Because are we guaranteed tomorrow? I saw something, and I don't know if you guys read the billboards, or whatever they are, the traffic billboards. They're taking it off now because they got a Star Wars one up there that says, drinking and driving will lead you to the path to the dark side. So that's pretty good. But they usually say the death total. I was in Texas, and by the way, Tennessee is down. It's like 800 and something, which is low. It's, I think, or 900, I forget. Texas was 3,000. They had a sign like that, 3,000 deaths on their highways. And I thought, man, you know, I could easily be gone tomorrow. Did I soak up today? Did I tell the people I love them enough? Did I soak up those moments, or was I so busy worrying about what was going to happen tomorrow that I missed it? That I missed that opportunity? You know, this lesson's not anything, as you guys know when I speak, mine's more applicable. But I found this great poem. I didn't write this, because you know I don't write poems. But it's called Live for Today by Margot Daniel. I don't know if you know Margot Daniel. I didn't know Margot. But listen to this poem, and think about it. There's no written guarantee, and things that happened yesterday belong to history. I can't predict the future. I cannot change the past. I just have this present moment. I must treat it as my last. I must use this moment wisely, for soon it will pass away and be lost to me forever as part of yesterday. I must exercise compassion, help the fallen to their feet, be a friend to the friendless, make empty life complete. I must make this moment precious, for it will not come again. And I can never be content with things that might have been. Kind words I fail to say this day may ever be unsaid. For I know that how short may be the path that lies ahead. The unkindest thing I do today may never be undone. And friendship that I fail to win may never more be won. I may not have another chance on bended knees to pray and thank God with humble heart for giving me this day. I may never see tomorrow, but this moment is my own. It's mine to use or cast aside. The choice is mine alone. I have this precious moment in the sunlight of today, where the dawning of tomorrow meets the dusk of yesterday. My simple message is this. Live for today. Make the most of what you got, because you'll never get it back. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to anticipate something else. I'm going to be focused about something. And you know what happens to me so often when I think about something? I build it up in my mind. And and I've got what it's going to be, whether it's I'm worried about how something's going to turn out or I think this is how it's going to play out, that then I get to the situation, it's nothing like I thought. I was talking with a lady when I was down in Texas, and she gave me some marital advice. And I'm going to leave you this to help your relationships, because it was powerful to me. Do you know what the gap between expectations and reality is? A lot of times it's disappointment. So often we have expectations that we build up in our mind that a lot of times it doesn't meet. And what do we have in between? Disappointment. And so often I find myself in just my relationship with my wife is that I expect something, and if it doesn't go the way I want, I'm disappointed. Let's live for today. Let's only make what we can make and do the best at it. Because as that poem said, you never can get back that moment. And so whether it's being here at church with the family we have, or whether it's being with your family at Christmas, or whether it's simply having an opportunity with somebody you meet, make the most of it. Because God guarantees us one thing, this moment. And He wants us to make the most of it. So here's my simple challenge. I don't say you shouldn't have dreams, goals, or plans, but let's live in the now. Well, let's find a balance. Let's dwell on our past and learn from it. Let's live for today, but let's also keep hope for tomorrow. And when we can balance that right, I think we'll be better off. So whatever your need is this morning, always feel free to come forward. As I tell everybody every time I speak, it's not just time to come up here and talk about concerns. If you have praises you want to share with the congregation, we're a family, aren't we? We rejoice when we rejoice. We weep when we weep. So whatever you have, and if you're not a Christian, you'd like the opportunity to come forward, the doors are open. They can be opened 24 hours a day. They're not open 24 hours a day. Whatever your need is, come forward as together we stand and sing.